the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the Messy Walk podcast.
Woohoo!
Wow, you sound super excited.
Is that better?
Yes, that's much better. Thank you. Welcome to the Messy Walk podcast. This is episode 36. I'm here with Pastor Adam.
Hi.
My name's Chloe. You might already know that if you've been listening for a while, but if you don't know that, welcome. That's our names.
That's our names. That's who we are.
So we have been in a series lately called Sins Christians Ignore That Mess Us Up. This will be the fourth episode of that series. The first episode was about gossip. That one was really hard.
What did you call it? It's not
spilling the tea.
The millennial for gossip is called spilling the tea.
Yes, and it has literally affected my life every day. Like that podcast is everything that I learned with that.
We had somebody comment about that yesterday. Somebody said something else about that they just can't stop thinking about what we talked about in that podcast.
Yeah,
about gossip, about spilling the tea.
I feel the same way.
It was pretty tough. It's pretty tough to hear those. And I think that's the whole point. We started off with that one, right? Yes, the first one.
That was the first one.
That's the whole point of this little series is that there are sins that we just completely ignore. And I think they truly do mess us up. And the fact that we've been bothered so much by this gossip topic shows how much it really has messed us up.
Yep. 100%. Yep. Very true. First episode was gossip. The second episode was on gluttony, that one was bigger than what I thought it was. So now, like, when I go to take a, like, you were talking about, like, taking a bite of your food before everybody else has their food or something like that. I did that the other day, and I was like, halfway into the bite, and I was like, I'm committing gluttony right now. So, yeah, those have just been, both of those were super eye-opening.
That one's pretty cool. We talked through some old school theological thought from St. Francis.
Yeah, that was really cool.
No, not St. Francis.
I don't know who it was.
I can't remember now. I just messed this up. But anyway.
No, it's okay.
I can't remember what it was. But anyway.
I don't remember his name either. But there was a saint.
I got St. Francis on my mind because I was using it for something the other day. And so now I can't get out of it. But now I'm going to have to Google it. So keep talking, Chloe. Yeah.
So that was episode 2. That was on gluttony. And then third episode came out last week. That one was on honoring your parents. And honestly, each of these episodes have been super convicting in their own way. St. Thomas.
Aquinas.
They both ended with an S. So you were close. Like you were far off, but you were close.
The most common letter in the alphabet. You got that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
That was who it was. Sorry.
That's okay. No worries. We won't hold that against you.
Please don't. There's too much other things you can hold against me.
So yeah, last week was on honoring your parents, and it was also like a very challenging episode. They've just all been challenging, like I said, in their own way. And I have caught myself like doing things. I'm like, is this honoring to my parents right now? And a lot of times it has not been. But yeah. So today, this episode, Adam, do you want to lead us into that?
Yes. So I'm going to hit one today that I think is pretty, bold. And I think that for the most part, you might disagree. So far on these, I don't think that any Christians are going to disagree.
Right. That gossip
is sinful, that gluttony is sinful, that pretty dishonoring your parents, or where we took it further was dishonoring humans, period, is sinful. I think we all agree with that. But this one you might not. So here's the sin that I think is messing us up as Christians that we often ignore and may not even consider it sin, is avoiding evangelism. Hmm. What I mean by that is not sharing the gospel. Not sharing your story of how Christ has impacted you, not sharing the love of Christ in the world specifically, like avoiding, ignoring, sharing your faith. So let's just start off with the baseline to make sure that we all agree, because what I've got to do with some folks is convince you that this is a sin. So I think I'm going to give you my strongest evidence that this is a sin. So Chloe, will you please read Matthew chapter 28,
Yes.
19 through 20. This is known as
The Great Commission.
The Great Commission.
I was like, right? This is known as Matthew 28.
This is known as the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Anybody who is a Christ follower You have been impacted by this because someone has heeded the commission from Jesus and shared Christ with you. And then you also at the same time have been given it as like your job description. So let's hear this real quick. And once you hear this from Jesus, by the way, this is straight from Christ. I don't think that you can deny that it is a sinful act of disobedience to not share the gospel. And I think that most Christians are not sharing the gospel. So let's try it.
Cool. So Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age."
Starts off, when you read the full Great Commission scripture, you start off with verse 18. Verse 18 says that he is telling you, hey, I have the authority. And so therefore, he's telling you he's in charge.
Right.
Therefore, go, right, and make disciples, baptizing them, right, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you to do. And by the way, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you through all this. Sounds to me like a pretty significant command,
right?
I mean, I've got authority. Like, that's you looking at your kids going, hey, I'm in charge. Now go put your britches on or go brush your teeth, right? And so when I say that to my kids, there's no doubt that what they need to do and what I'm telling them to do is that. And so anytime that we fail to do what Jesus tells us to do, wouldn't that be disobedience?
Yeah.
Right? And so wouldn't disobedience then be sin? Yeah. I mean, I think it would be, right? I mean, I don't know how you can say that disobedience is not sinful.
It's so, like all the other sins are, it's you going against God's law. God, this is what God has said. And so if you go against that, then you're disobeying, which
there's a big part there that it's not optional. Yeah. So this Great Commission to the followers of Jesus, it's not an optional statement. And I think we often take it as optional, which then makes us be disobedient and sinful.
Right.
And I think that it is messing us up completely because when we have been saved, we've been given this gift of salvation that is not just for us to keep to ourselves. And I think that's what really messes us up. The best way you walk out your faith is by sharing your faith, right? Sharing who Christ is. And if we know that Jesus is the answer and we just keep the answer to ourselves and sit on our pew and sing our songs and never open our mouths, that's really messing us up. I mean, I see this all the time. I see Christians constantly. I'm calling them Christians because they would call themselves that. But I see people that say they're Christ followers all the time that never, ever share anything about Christ. I just don't know if you can call yourself a Christ follower if you are not sharing the faith, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not sharing anything about your Lord, then is he really your Lord, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not sharing anything about your Savior, then have you really fully put your trust in that Savior? So to me, it's not a command. It's not an optional thing at all. And I think sometimes we look at it that way and we just ignore this. And we ignore this, I believe, blatant disobedience and sin to share our faith. Then we got one more verse for you, just in case you weren't convinced by Jesus' own words with the Great Commission. Then we've got Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is, by the way, also Jesus' own words.
Yes.
Right? So read that one for us, Chloe.
All right. So Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Yep. So you get the power of the Holy Spirit. And we receive that as we step into Christ. And then you will be, not you might be, or you can choose to be. How about you just think about it, please, just please be. It doesn't say that. You will be my witnesses. So what you are witness and testifying to is not your own life or anything else. It is to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lays out this geographical kind of pattern here. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. The best way to look at that is like concentric circles, one inside each other. And so you've got Jerusalem is this local area. Judea is right outside of that. Samaria is outside of that. And then the ends of the earth is everything else. And by the way, folks, those of us listening to this podcast right now, unless you happen to be in Jerusalem, probably, we are the ends of the earth. That's mm-hmm. us. And so people have listened to the Great Commission, yeah. have said, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to do this, so therefore I'm going to do this. And they've shared the gospel all the way until it's gotten to places like us that are the ends of the earth, places mm-hmm. that didn't really exist, weren't really inhabited, or we weren't aware that they were inhabited back then. And so I don't know how you can take those two scriptures and not go anywhere else. The fact that Jesus's command for us to share the good news is explicit. So it's an explicit command for us to share the good news with the lost world. The Great Commission is for every single Christian. The power of the Holy Spirit and then us being witnesses is for every single Christian. And so, you know, you don't need Charles Spurgeon. By the way, I love Charles Spurgeon. You can go read some of his stuff. You'll struggle reading it because it's kind of old English style stuff. But or you don't need Billy Graham. Or you don't need somebody else. You don't need me, right. Pastor Adam. I'm not putting myself in that category. I'm giving you somebody you can actually relate to share your salvation story. After accomplishing his mission at Calvary, the Savior of the world handed over the responsibility of the gospel being preached. Proclamation is what we're talking about, the gospel proclamation. He handed that over to the church. And everybody who's in the church has different responsibilities, but we all and different things that we bring to the table. But we all carry this responsibility. We all carry the fact that we have to actually share the gospel. Yeah. And so some people do have platforms to share that louder and with larger groups of people. But those same people are not going to have the platform to share it with the people that you would have the platform to share it with.
Yeah.
You know? And I think lots of times we just rest on the fact of, well, there are these great preachers or whatever, or there's these great books, or there's these great churches, and so we'll just get people to go to that. There are people in your life that if you – I fully believe this, and I could be wrong, and I don't know if this is biblically correct, but let's go with it. There are people in your life that if you don't share the gospel with them, there is going to be nobody else that does.
Right.
And they're not going to happen upon – these great orators or preachers or teachers or whatever, because they're not, why would they ever happen upon that? I mean, tell me somebody outside of the church, unless they are a historical scholar, that knows who the heck Charles Spurgeon is. Nobody, right?
Right.
And so you've got to make sure that you do that. What he does is he sets his church on mission. And I think a lot of times with Christianity, we treat it like something that is for us, and it's not. Right. It is for the world. Right. His church is not for you to sit in all the time and be fed. I hate that statement because it's not my job to feed you.
It's your job to feed you.
Right?
Yeah.
But he sets his church on mission. So we are all in this. We are all ministers of this. And in light of this, like, it's hardly a small thing for us to be sharing our faith. It is not something that is allowed to be ignored or made optional, right? And it is for everybody. And so when you hear that Great Commission, a lot of times people think, oh, you know, this is some dissonance on this, is that it was specifically for the disciples. It was, explicitly for the apostles, right? And the whole idea of, well, let's just talk about this. People say this all the time. So there was lots of disciples of Jesus. When we talk about the apostles, I'm talking about those who Jesus personally appeared to after his resurrection, right? So
That's
another reason why we probably shouldn't call ourselves apostles right now. But I'm not going to get mad at you if your church does that. So anyway, sometimes it's a cultural thing. But anyway, it's our job to do this all the time. So And it's everybody's job. And Scripture is quite explicit about that, too. So if you think it was just for the apostles, there's a couple other scriptures to look at, too, that will remind you that it's everybody's duty. So there's a couple of them we want to read to you real quick. Let's read, I think it is 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would call this the, if I'm remembering correctly, the Ministers of Reconciliation Scripture. Read that one real quick.
Cool. So this is 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 20a. So it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him.
Oh, hold up.
Oh, did I mess up? Oh,
no, you said it right. Did you hear that?
Should I say it again?
Say it again. Say it again.
Okay.
We don't even need to talk about it. Just listen to this.
And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves.
Yeah, we don't live for ourselves anymore. Do you see this?
Yeah.
And that's all people, not just talking about these apostles that were spoken directly to by the resurrected Jesus in those two verses we just read. Keep going. Right.
But for him who died for them and was raised to life again.
Yeah, not about you. It's about the one that died for you.
Yeah.
And other people knowing this. It keeps going.
Yeah. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view.
Oh, hold up. We regard nobody from a worldly point of view. So now, in other words, our view of this life and of people is from a godly point of view. So we're looking at people's eternities, yeah, not just them in the world. It's a whole lot easier to ignore somebody and sharing the gospel with them if you just think of them as just a human being, as just a person.
Right.
It's a whole nother deal when you start thinking about them and having an eternity and a soul. Right. Yeah. And so Christians should be not living for ourselves and looking at people in the world as if they have a soul and there is an eternity attached to that soul. That's huge. Yeah. And that's, if you don't do that, you're being disobedient. Mm. And this statement here is from Paul to the Corinthian church. So it's not just to people that saw the resurrected Jesus. All right. Keep going.
Right. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Boom. Right there. I'm going to pause you again, Chloe. This is okay. Fun doing this because you got to keep your spot.
I know. I'm like,
he reconciled us to himself, right? So he brought us back to who we were meant to be in God, reconciled us back from death and hell and sin and all those things. And then he doesn't just do that so he can give you a high five and say, hey, you don't have to do anything with this. And then he compels us, gives us this same ministry of reconciliation. So right. We are now, you now are sitting in as a Christ follower, a responsibility of reconciling the world back to God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Pretty bold.
Yeah.
Keep going. See if you can find your spot.
That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us.
Say, that's huge. Yeah. So we are ministers of reconciliation. We are God's ambassadors. Ambassador is this idea of someone being sent from another place with the authority and representation of the place that they've come from, of the king that they've come from, to share the desires, the requests, all the things from that king, not from ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
And so we are his ambassadors. It's our job. We have been sent to do that. Like he's, and I love the way he says this, like we're making the appeal ourselves, like we're making the appeal through it, like God is actually making this appeal through us. Mm-hmm. And so in other words, God uses us to share the gospel of Christ to the rest of the world.
Right.
We are a very specific piece and plan in his process.
Yeah.
That God has chosen that the church is going to be the one that carries this. That's not one church, and that's not church leaders, and that's not one denomination. That is his church, his holy body. And when we talk about he's choosing the church for this, that means he's choosing every single Christ follower to do this.
Right.
As if he's making the appeal through us, like he's using us in that way. And when we don't do that, we are truly messing up our own faith walk in significant ways because we're not living out what we actually say we believe. And anytime you don't live out what you believe, do you really believe it? You know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
that's very true.
Do you really believe it? If you think, if you're a car salesman at Honda and you think Honda is the best absolute car on the market and you tell me that all the time and you're driving around Toyota, I'm going to question whether you really believe what you're trying to sell me or not. Now, maybe you got some crazy personal situation going on and that's all you could have, or that was grandma's car or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it calls into question, doesn't
it?
If you don't live out what you believe, then do you really believe it?
Yeah.
And that's the question you got to ask yourself about your faith, you know, and especially when it comes to sharing it.
Right.
So I think that it is obvious that it's not a small thing. And it's not just, it's not this small little level thing or something that you can just ignore when you realize that we are not sharing the gospel with our neighbors and our cities and our world. And here's the thing with this. We are so much more likely to hear Christians confess to sins like gossip a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Gluttony, now, not so much. We talked about that being very ignored.
Right.
Gluttony or dishonoring another person. We're so much more likely to hear a Christian confess to lying or to stealing at some point in time in their life or to sexual sin at some point or to drug abuse or any other sort of addiction than we are to hear Christians confess about failing to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Why? Why would we, why don't we ever hear ourselves confessing to failing to share the gospel? One, we either don't want anybody to know that that's the case, or two, we just don't really live and act like it's a sin.
Yeah.
Right? We don't really act like it's disobedience.
That's true.
Some people might admit to not evangelizing enough, right? So you may hear some confession of, you know, and I'm thinking to myself when I say this too, like I'm thinking, I don't know if I've ever confessed to God that my primary aim is not evangelism, right? I don't think I've ever confessed to God that I'm failing to share my faith with people that I interact with on a daily basis. I have, though, and some people have, confessed to God that I'm not doing it enough, but rarely about the occasions where we fail to do it. And I think it's because we don't really see this as sinful. We don't see this as this failure as sinful, as falling short of God's commission on our lives. We just kind of ignore it, yeah. Right? And also just sort of normalize it, as in it's okay and it's something that you grow into.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot. Maybe I've even taught this, I don't know, that you grow into sharing your faith and sharing Christ. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Of course you grow into it more stronger and you get better at it and right. You increase in that witness, but I don't think it's something you can just say, well, I'm a new Christian, so I don't have to do that until year five, right? I haven't taken that class yet, so yeah. I'm good. You know, I just don't think that's the case. That scripture is very specific about us all being ministers of reconciliation, all being ambassadors of heaven. And in 1 Peter, he talks about being ambassadors from heaven, right? Most of those Christians that Paul's writing to in 2 Corinthians, and I don't even know if we read the 1 Peter scripture, did we?
Not yet.
You read the 1 Peter scripture?
Not yet.
Read that one now.
Okay. So 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Yeah, you used to not know this, but now you do. Right. And now that you know it, you got to share it, right?
Yeah.
And the same people that Peter's talking to, the same people that Paul's talking to in 2 Corinthians, these people are young Christians.
Yeah.
Like, this is young faith. I mean, this is not people that have been, for the most part, I mean, these are not people that have been following Jesus forever and ever. None of them are going to look like some of our seasoned veteran Christians, right?
Yeah.
Where you're sitting here listening to the podcast and you've been a Christian longer than you've been an adult.
Right.
It wasn't specifically to just veteran seasoned people in their faith. It's to everybody at any level of faith walk, because he's talking about you're this ambassador, you're a chosen holy people. Remember, you used to not be this, you know, but now you are.
Yeah.
And because you are, you share it with the world. That's the whole point. And so when I think about all this, I'm going, you know, should a lack of evangelism not be seen as a notable disobedience and sin? Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
And it ought to be. And that's something that we ought to also hold each other accountable in. like we talked about with gossip, you know, when you're around it, there's, you know, you have to have to be able to say in somebody's life, but you can redirect conversations and you can hold people accountable with that, right? Me and Chloe talked about doing that with each other on that. Matter of fact, we just had another conversation yesterday that was similar to the conversation we had the first time when we were gossiping, but this one we kept being on track of. Now, we're not gossiping here.
Right.
We're processing together. I'm a trusted person. We'll guide you in this way, vice versa, right? We held each other accountable in that.
Yeah.
And the same thing with gluttony. You can hold each other accountable in that. And the same thing with honoring people around you. You can hold each other accountable. We ought to hold each other accountable to this, because this is a specific, notable sin because it's disobedience to the commission. And so as Christians, look, we got to be sharing our faith and holding each other accountable to sharing our faith for things with people and in all kinds of situations. But it's something that is missing. Evangelism and outreach in the church is often things that a lot of people don't attend, a lot of people not part of.
And
the church is to blame for part of this, because I don't think we've done a great job of helping people learn how to evangelize and learn how to share their story. Instead, what we've done is we've kind of taken the easy route out and said, just invite them to church.
Yeah.
Right. And we're processing through this as a church right now on the value of evangelism and what that's really supposed to look like in a mature believer. And the church is supposed to be helping people mature in that. And so I think we've done a disservice by just saying, hey, invite them to church. Here's this cool sermon series, or here's this thing going on, invite them to church. Of course you should do that, but you can't just abdicate the responsibility and just invite people to church. And so,
right.
You know, those things aren't well attended usually. And so I think the church in general, we've got to recognize the depth of this issue. It's a significant issue that most people, I believe, are not taking evangelism serious and are not sharing their faith, and then therefore are being sinful and disobedient because they're ignoring the commission. So What do we do? You know, like how do we repair this? How do we make a way forward? Because what I've done is just made everybody feel really bad about their personal evangelism with their friends and family and colleagues and coworkers and that kind of stuff. I think it starts off with, and it always comes to this, and that scripture really referenced this. You've got to remember what God has done for you at all times.
Yeah.
What he's done through Christ for you. And the fact that he has woke you up, he has given you life, he has opened your eyes, he's breathed back into you. You were dead. There was no hope whatsoever. And that he brought you back to life. You've got to remember that. And then when you remember that constantly, we need the Holy Spirit to show us the future state. This is going to be a big sentence. Nobody likes to think about this. Show us the future state of unconverted relatives and friends and family members and coworkers and colleagues and neighbors.
Yeah.
We need to have him. We need the Holy Spirit to constantly awaken us to what lies ahead for those that Peter referred to being in the darkness and not walking into that marvelous light. And so not just them not having Jesus here on earth, but waking up to what those eternities really look like. And so the thought of an eternity in hell, because we didn't share the good news and we didn't share salvation, right? It's got to move us to this urgent work. I think that that's one of the most compelling pieces is any, and I don't remember what scripture we read, but it was seeing people through a soul light. You know, it was seeing them as not just a person in this earth, but seeing them as having a soul and their view in eternity.
Is that
and
so, 2 Corinthians
Yeah, I think
5?
It was, yeah. It has to, I stopped you 12 times in that one. But yeah, I think that was it. And that is always a good starting point to understanding why evangelism is so important. And I think you've got to constantly be praying, God, show me, make me aware. Let the Spirit move in you to show you the reality of what eternal separation from God really looks like. That's all hell is eternal separation from God. And that's going to come from people not accepting it. But my God, don't let it come from the fact that we never opened our mouths, right? That we didn't share it, that it wasn't the most important thing when we were with those people and we had those opportunities, you know. I think that if you listen to the, you know, one of the hardest doctrines in Scripture to understand and in our faith is the doctrine of hell. It's one of the most difficult. But by the way, as Christ followers, we believe in it. Right. Jesus refers to this quite frequently. If we believe that this really exists, that if someone does not step into Jesus, that they will spend an eternity in torment and anguish separated from God. If we really believe that, why in the world don't we open up our mouths about Jesus more often?
Yeah.
Why is it always something that we've got such trepidation going into? Or, you know, we want to do it all through the dinner party. We want to share with them about Christ. They say something in particular and we want to go, hey, look, you know, I'd love to talk to you more about this because I think what you're missing is Christ. And I used to struggle with that too. And here's what changed my life. And we go through the whole dinner party or the whole meeting or whatever, and we're just sitting there going, I can't say it, I can't say it, I can't say it. Man, that's tough. And I do this too. I'm just saying, yeah. If we really believe that hell exists, why wouldn't that be the main thing that we're talking about all the time? So I think that's the piece that's missing, is to be able to have a recognition at all times that these are souls that we're dealing with that are going to have an eternity somewhere.
Right.
And it cannot be because we failed to open our mouths.
Right.
They're going to have to decide to accept on their own. Everybody's got to make a decision, yes or no. You've got to decide where you stand with Jesus. But don't let it be because we didn't constantly bring it up. Right. We didn't constantly show it and share it, and talk about it and give the option and live our lives in a way that pointed them to them. But then also just didn't live our lives that way, but actually talk to them about why we lived our lives that way. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of times people go, well, I'll just live it out. Well, you can live it. Yes, you should live it out. But you also at every single given opportunity ought to point out why you're living that way to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Otherwise, you're just going to be seen as this perfect little person.
Good morals.
Yeah, who has good morals, right? Yeah. And that's all great and all, but that's going to make people aspire to be you. Don't make people aspire to be you. Make people aspire to be like Christ.
Yeah.
And they actually can be like Christ. They can't be like you fully. They can be like Jesus fully. Yeah. That's the promise, you know? And so anyway, I think one of the other quick little things before we wrap up and kind of beat this dead horse is, you know, praying for that. Seeing eternity, seeing people's souls. And then if you have never done this, sit down today. Take a moment today. Do it as soon as this podcast is done, wherever you're at, listen to it. You can do it on your phone. You can do it with a piece of paper and a napkin. Write out your story. Some of you will love to do that. Some of you will hate it. So don't write it all out. Just write bullet points, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was this. I struggled with this. This always got me. I met Jesus here. He has changed my life. You know, write out your actual personal story because you got to have that. And then start working on your knowledge of the scriptures and your knowledge of Christ. And what we would call this is apologetics, the evidence for the resurrection. Yeah. The evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming. There is a massive amount of evidence for the resurrection. Start working on some of those pieces so that you can not only point people to you see people's souls, and then you can share your story, but you can also begin to answer questions and point to, you know, the fact that this is valid, right? Those are the key things. And as a Christ follower, I'm just telling you, this should be the top priority in our lives every day when we wake up. Hmm. Every day when we wake up, it should be, I am a child of God. He has brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. How could I not share it? God, give me opportunities to share it. I told Chloe yesterday, and then I'll wrap up that I already said that twice, didn't I? I'll wrap up that I haven't done this in a long time. I used to do it all the time, and I find myself now trying to get back to it. So I'm not doing this perfect by any means. Perfect's probably a stretch. No, it's definitely a stretch. I may not be doing a passing grade on this, I try to look at my calendar for the day and pray for it. So you pray for the things that are there, and some of them you're going, God, please just get me through this, you know, and then it's God, okay, God, all the other divine appointments that are not on this calendar day, show them to me, make me aware of them so that I can be ready for those moments.
Yeah.
And so that when I see them today, I can go, oh, this one's a divine appointment. And I think that's important to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, a big sin that is tripping you up more than likely is that you are not sharing your faith. You are not evangelizing.
And you're not evangelism.
You're not evangelism.
I had to.
and you are you're ignoring it or even being okay with it. You've made it not a sin. You know, it's not disobedience. It's not sinful.
So I've had a question on my mind as you've been talking.
Yeah.
What? So when we say evangelism, I don't know. Other people might be like me, so that's why I wanted to ask you. When I think evangelism, I think going up to people on the street that you don't know. Is evangelism bigger than that? Is it limited to that? Can you elaborate on that?
So it would include that, obviously.
Right.
I don't know how fruitful it is to walk up to somebody that you don't have a relationship with. So the way that we teach this, the way that we talk through this in our discipleship process as a church, the way I think that it is biblically referenced is that you invest in someone and then you invite them into a relationship with Jesus. And if you take the investment part out, it's just like a soapbox preacher standing on the corner, right? It's not going to work real well. And so you invest in someone by showing them that you care, caring for them. And then through that part of investing in them, you invite them into a relationship with Jesus. Inviting them to church is part of that step, for sure. Inviting them to your small group or Bible study is part of that step. That would be considered evangelism. But specifically sharing your faith with them and saying, hey, do you know Christ, as you've invested in someone, that's evangelism too, right? Okay. So, of course, evangelism definitely is standing with, you know, with a bunch of strangers and telling them about Christ. That's evangelism.
Yeah.
Just don't think it's going to be real effective.
Right.
I think real true evangelism looks like investing into someone and inviting them into a relationship with Jesus. That's what it really looks like.
I also think everybody has those moments in their life where maybe you're at the grocery store or whatever and someone is in line behind you and they say something and you're like, this is a great opportunity just to not even be like, do you know Jesus? But like just, I mean, to start to do that.
Yeah, and have some conversation openers for that. Like you can have a couple of them in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the conversation openers that a lot of people use is, and this one's okay, is, hey, do you go to church? Right? And so somebody's kind of opened that up. And so that can kind of, you just kind of go with where the conversation goes. Or, you know, you just focus in on how can I show this person that I really care about them and love them. And when you do something for somebody that they're not realizing or expecting you're going to do, and they're like, oh, thank you so much. You can be like, look, it's not just because of me. It's because Jesus loves me. He loves you too. You know, and I love you because he loves you. Right. Little things like that, you know.
Right.
Evangelism is definitely a way of life. It is not just preaching on some street corner or yelling some scripture or throwing something up on your Facebook. Those are pieces of it, but they're very small pieces.
Right.
Evangelism is I'm going to invest in a person so much that I'm going to have a relationship with them and I'm going to tell them about Christ. And evangelism typically does not happen in mass. It happens in personal relationship.
Yeah.
And so you should always be thinking about who's your one, who's that one person that you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for moments to come up. You're going to share your story with them. You're going to try to walk through life with them, and you're going to try to share Christ with them. Yeah. Who's that one person?
Yeah.
And I think what you're really looking at, your evangelism circle is typically three or four people that are relatively close to you that you're walking through life with intentionally, not the three or four people you're going to run into in the grocery store. Right.
Yeah.
You know, The investment part is like tilling up the ground. It's preparing the ground for that seed to take, you know.
Right.
And so when you're scattering that seed, it's much more likely for it to take root.
Yeah.
If you're only doing it with strangers that you run into in places, it's like throwing seed all over the place on concrete, right?
Yeah.
The investment's extremely important. We can't miss that when we're talking about evangelism. We can't miss that we have to invest in someone's life. You know, there's an old saying, people, I don't know where this comes from, but everybody knows it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? All that is evangelism 101. That's investing and inviting.
Yeah, so, that's cool. I was just thinking about that. I don't know, because whenever people say evangelism, I just think that specific way of like, it's people that you don't know and you should go up to them, which like you said, it can be that, but it's not limited to that.
Right. It's sharing the gospel.
Right.
Right. So if part of evangelism, how we live our lives shine the light of Jesus in what we do. So we're gracious in how we live.
Yeah.
Evangelism is what we speak on. It's who we intentionally choose to invest our time in. Right. So if you're only hanging around Christians, you're not going to be evangelizing.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to purposefully make sure that you interact with and befriend and love on people that are outside of the faith.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's true. It's good stuff. Thank you guys for joining us today. This is another super convicting episode of this little series we're doing called Sins Christians Ignore That Mess Us Up. We hope you enjoyed this episode, that you are walking away with some practical things that you can start working on to start evangelizing in your everyday life. I know I have a few things that I need to do myself.
Yes, me too.
So, yeah, we hope you have a great week. Be sure to check us out on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, so you can be updated whenever we release new episodes, which is every Wednesday. There's a new episode every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Yep. So stay tuned.
I don't know when this one comes out.
Right, right. On a Wednesday. But
a future Wednesday.
A future Wednesday. Some Wednesday in the future. Anyway, have a great week. We will be back again next week with another episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.